Morning. Today's Daf and Tzvachim is Chaf. We are on Yud Tesamud Beis. We are right at the midpoint of Yud Tesamud Beis. Tana Rabbanan. Let us begin this morning. A continuation of the discussion of Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. Kohen, before going and doing the Avoda in the morning, must be washing his hands and his feet. And what we know and what we've been discussing now for the last couple of days is the idea that without Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, so the Avoda will be Psula. But what we're going to start off our morning discussing is procedurally how exactly does it look like? What exactly is Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim look like? There was a big basin that was in the Azara, and it's from that the Kohen was going to do Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. So exactly how to look on Rabbanan the Gemara quotes a brisa giving us a description. Kesa mitzvah kiddush meniach yado yamanis al gabe raglo yamanis v'yado asmalas al gabe raglo asmalas mikadesh. According to the Tanakhama, so what the Kohen's going to need to do is he's going to need to be a little bit flexible, and he's going to have to put his right hand on his right foot and his left hand on his left foot. So he's bent over, but at least now he's got both feet firmly planted on the floor, and then he's going to have somebody turn the urn on, the basin on, turn the sink on, and each hand and foot are going to be watched respectively. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Meniach, Shtei Yadav, Ze Agav, Ze Ve'al Gabi, Shtei Raglav, Ze Agabi, Ze Umekadesh. So according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, so it looks a little more like Schwister, if you remember the classic, the classic game. But basically you're going to have hand upon hand, which is then going to be placed foot upon foot. So in other words, the water is going to come down and the water is going to wash everything simultaneously. Now, obviously, this is going to be like the game itself. So it's hard to keep your balance and it's hard to remain standing. So exactly how are you going to be standing? So Amru lo hi flagta. So they say to him, that's an exaggeration. You can't do this. Eif shalasos kain. So shapi karmalei. So the Gemara, after quoting the Braisa, the Gemara says, you know, the Chachamim are right. Like, what? How do you do that? How do you put your hand on top of your hand, which then goes on top of your foot, which then goes on top of your other foot, and you're standing on one foot, balancing the rest of your body on that one foot? So I'm Rav Yosef v'chaveiro misayo. So Rav Yosef says an explanation of the shita of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. So obviously he's going to need a little bit of help. So in other words, he'll pretty much be unable to balance himself, standing on one foot on top of one foot. So he'll get some help. My Beinah, the Gemara points out, now, halachically, what becomes now the difference between the Tanakhama and Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda? Explains the Gemara. Amar Abaye, Amida Min Atzad Ikim Einayu. In other words, this is what the Gemara describes as Amida Min Atzad, which basically means you're standing but with help. In other words, we know that whenever you do an Avoda, you have to be in a state of Amida, right? Omeid is the position to be. We learned that back in the Mishnah as well. So when you're washing your hands, now, the act of washing itself, it's either you want to call it an Avoda, you want to call it a Hechsher Avoda. Right, it's one of those two. But in other words, even if we're going to call it a Hechsher Avoda, but still it's connected to the Avoda, so you should be standing. So according to the Tanakhama, so great. In other words, so you're standing. Granted, you're hunched over because your hand's over your foot, but you're basically standing. Whereas according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, you're standing, but you can only stand with the aid and help of somebody else. And the Gemara now is saying that's the machlokus over here, whether or not that's considered Amida. That's an aside. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You only think that way because that's what we do. Meaning, it sounds like they're washing from the faucet. Sounds like they're washing from the faucet. Meaning, there's some sort of faucet attached.
So, what does the kiyah have to do with holding for in the water before kohanim?
I mean, I hear you, but I mean, just it sounds. It sounds.
They have to pour it out from there.
Maybe. I don't know. The Gemara says, okay, why not just sit? Meaning, rather than checking out the flexibility and the dexterity of the Kohanim, so why not just have them sit and have them wash their hands and feet in a sitting position? And what did you want? In other words, what did you want to accomplish? You wanted to wash the hands and feet simultaneously? So in a sitting position, so it'll be much easier. Amar Kar L'Sharis, V'Sheris Mu'umadhu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but this is L'Sheris. This is for the purpose of service, meaning falls under the category of Avodah, and Avodah has to be done in a state of Amida, so can't be done while sitting. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, and now we're going to be discussing the Braisa, and this Braisa really will take us through pretty much the good part of today's daf. So really is a good place to start today's daf. The Braisa over here is going to be discussing, you wash your hands and feet, and you're good for that day. That part's clear. How about you're good for that night? How about are you good for the next day? Meaning, you do Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim, so how long is it going to last for? And will it come a point in time where you're just by definition going to have to do a new Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim? Now, if you go to bed at night, so I think it's pretty easy to argue that it's no longer any good. Meaning, with a Hesach Hadas, whether you have now an interruption in thought about your hands being clean, so you have to wash anew. That part's pretty clear. The Gemara will kind of allude to that a little bit later on, but that's obvious. Our discussion in the Gemara is going to be where you're doing the Avoda and you're doing a two-day shift. Or, let's say you're doing a shift basically from the night into the day. So do you have to do a new Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim with every new daybreak? And here the Gemara is going to debate this very issue. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim B'Yamin Tzarech L'Kadosh B'Laila. So if you do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim in the day, so that is going to carry you over for the remainder of the day and the following night. However, B'Laila Tzarech L'Kadosh B'Yom. If you do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim for the previous night, and now a new day emerges, so you work the night shift and the following morning shift, you must wash your hands in the morning, Divrei Rebbe. Shai Rebbe Omer, Lina Malas B'Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Rebbe's of the opinion that Lina will be effective for Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Lina is a term which we're going to be seeing a lot of later in the Masechta. Lina is generally a term that we use to describe the blood of a carbon. Blood of a carbon has to be sprinkled on the Mizbech on the day that the animal shechted. If, let's say, you collect the blood in a bowl and you leave the blood overnight, now it probably will coagulate and it won't be really that good the next day, probably won't be a liquid the next day, but if you can keep it in its liquid form and now you wait a day, tomorrow morning it's too late to sprinkle the blood. Meaning that the next day the blood now is going to be disqualified, and the name of that disqualification is Lina. It's very similar to Nosar. Nosar usually is more applicable to the meat of the carbon, and Lina is usually applicable to the blood that's going to be sprinkled. Good. So over here now, what we're discussing is not the blood, and we're not discussing the basar, but what we're discussing is your hands. Is there a principle, a concept of Lina as it relates to your hands? Rebbe says, yes, there is. Meaning that your hands, even though they're mikudash, even though they've been washed the night prior, but comes the morning, for new day in the Avoda, new day in the Beis HaMikdash, subsequently the principle of Lina applies to your hands as well. By definition, even though you were awake and even though you were totally aware of your hands, you still must do a new Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim. It sounds like, from the Gemara coming, it's going to sound like Netzach Hama. It's going to be the critical point. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, Ein Lina Ma'olas B'Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim. Now Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says, no, there's no principle of Lina as it relates to the washing your hands. You wash your hands at night, you're good for the next day. Assuming there was no interruption of sleep. Tanya Idach. The Gemara quotes another Braisa. Now this next Braisa is basically going to make the same point, and the Gemara, after quoting the Braisa, is going to wonder, what do we learn new in this Braisa? The Braisa reads, let's say the Kohen is doing the Avoda all night. In other words, he's in the night shift. And La'ora Tan Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim Divrei Rebbe. Wakes up. I strike that from the record. Next morning, while he's still doing the Avoda, he needs to do Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim, according to Rebbe. Rabbi Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, Amar Kim, Shkiddush Adam V'Raglayim, Mitchilas Avoda, Afilu Mikan Va'ad, Asar Yamim, Enot Tzarech L'Kadesh. Once you wash your hands, you're good for the next 10 days. Now, this is hyperbole. No one's going to be staying awake for the next 10 days. But the point is that as long as he could stay awake, he does not need to do Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim. Okay, so here we have the second Braisa, and it really is a repetition of what we learned previously. And what did we learn new? And what did we gain with the second Braisa? Gemara goes on to explain. Utsricha. In the first Braisa, so it actually was work stoppage between the night and the day. But in the second Braisa, it's a hamshacha, it's a continuation. Meaning the Kohen is working the night shift, and he's working through the morning. So then maybe you could have made the argument that Rebbe would agree to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. There's no need to wash your hands anew, meaning you're already washing hands for the night, and you're continuing. So you don't have to wash your hands anew. So that's the chiddush of the second braisa. Rebbe does not agree, and Rebbe would say that, look, with every daybreak you need to wash your hands anew. And then we could just simply flip the argument around as well. Meaning if all I had was the second braisa, not the first braisa, I would have said in the second braisa, where you're continuing to do the avoda from the night to the morning, there Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says you don't have to wash your hands anew. But if you are doing the avoda with a stoppage between the night and the day, like the first braisa, maybe Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon would agree that you have to wash your hands. Tzricha. Therefore, the both prices are necessary. My time at the Rebbe, now the Gemara goes through the Pesukim. That's right, that's right. My time at the Rebbe, what's the reason behind Rebbe? What's the basis of Rebbe's position? Again, every morning you have to wash your hands, regardless of whether you are awake or not, regardless of whether or not you already wash your hands for the night. In the morning you have to wash your hands anew. The Pasuk says, Dechsev Begishtam. The Torah says, Begishtam, when you approach. With every approach, you must wash your hands. The Gemara in a moment is going to ask the question, well then, shouldn't you wash your hands basically every single step in the Avoda? If the source is Begishtam, stay tuned, the Gemara is going to ask that question. My time at the Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Dechsev Bevoam. And according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, same Parsha, by the way, both of these Pesukim are found within the Parsha of washing your hands and feet. And the Pasuk says, Bevoam. Bevoam means entering. Meaning when you enter into the base of Mikdash, you wash your hands, but once you're there, you're good. V'idachnami aksi Bevoam. So the Gemara says, now what does each Tana do with the other Pasuk? So what does Rebbe do with the Pasuk of Bevoam? Iksi begishtam v'loksi Bevoam hava aminuk al-kol gisha v'gisha. So the Gemara explains, because look, if Rebbe only had the word Begishtam, that means with every approach, which means that for each and every approach, every single avod, every step of the way, you're going to have to wash your hands anew. So Bevoam tells me that no, that you don't have to do it for every approach, but basically for every day. Fine. Ve'idach nami haksev Begishtam. Now, what is Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon going to do with the Pasuk of Begishtam? Ok iksiv Bevoam v'lo ksiv Begishtam hava mina fila abir rekanis. The Havamina would have been that according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, even if you're just walking into the Azara, you need to wash your hands. Meaning if all we had was the Pasuk of Bevoam, so you walk in, you gotta wash your hands, period. So the Begishtam tells me that you have to be doing some sort of avoda. The Gemara says, what? Even as the Havamina, I don't think so. Abiri Kanisak Sivla Shares. You open up the Chumash, open up to the Parsha, and you'll see the Torah says very clearly, he goes in order to serve. So the Gemara says, you're right. The word Begishtam is coming to teach me a different halacha, and it's the following. Rashi over here gives us the background information to really appreciate the Gemara's point over here. We know that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is going to be toveling in the mikvah 5 times. We also know that before he tovels in the mikvah, he's going to be doing Kiddush Adam V'Raglaim. And after he tovels in the mikvah, he again is going to be doing Kiddush Adam V'Raglaim. Which means that on Yom Kippur, it'll be 5 tefillahs with a total of 10 washings of the hands and the feet. When he washes his hands and his feet before the tefillah, is that before or after removing his clothing? Parenthetically, by the way, every time he tovels in the mikveh, he's also doing a change of clothing. Meaning when he goes from his big day Kohen Gadol to the big day Lavan, going back to the big day Kohen Gadol, going back to the big day Lavan, going back to the big day Kohen Gadol, so there are going to be 5 changes in the course of the day, and for every change, there's going to be a tefillah. And again, Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim, on the front end and on the back end, before toveling and after toveling. Before toveling, so does he wash his hands before or after he takes off his clothing? It's a machlokus in the Gemara, in Yuma, it's a machlokus between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Not for now, but it's a machlokus. How about after the tefillah, should he first change, then wash his hands, or should he wash his hands and then change? Is it going to be the same machlokas? And this is the Gemara's point over here. It's not going to be a machlokas. Here, everyone's in agreement that on the back end, after toveling in the mikvah, first put on the clothing, then wash your hands. And everyone agrees. And that's the Gemara says. That's the hakol modim. Everyone agrees. Hakol modim b'kir she'ini k'shu ulavush mekadesh. Da'am akrao b'gishtam, mi she'ini mechuser ela gisha b'avad. Yes, it says she mechuser levisha v'gisha. I compare it to like a surgeon going into the prep room. In other words, you wash your hands and then just go right in. In other words, then there can be nothing separating. So here for the Kohen Gadol, meaning he shouldn't be washing his hands, oh, and now I got to go get dressed. No, you're dressed, you're ready. Washing your hands should be the last thing done before doing the actual avodah. La'atiri shalamali. One more point, as long as we're in this parsha of Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim. The Torah says la'atiri shalamali, which at this point in time is obvious, meaning to offer to burn the animal, meaning it's one of the avodas. Why does the Torah have to specify? Ma'u detema top of chaf amar aleph. I might have thought hani mila avoda deme akva kapara aval avoda dola makva kapara lo kamash malan. I might have thought that the requirement of kiddush adam v'raglaim is only for those avodas which are essential. that are ma'akev kapara, that without these avodas, kapara would not be achieved. Basically, the avodas adam, the shechita, the kabbalas adam, the holacha, the zrika. But we're talking about burning the limbs of the animal. It's not essential avoda. It's yes or no. Yes, it's an avoda, but it's not essential. Kapara will be achieved if I don't burn, if the kohen doesn't burn the limbs of the animal on the mizbeach. So I might have thought the havamina is that you don't need kiddush adam for aglaim. Kiddush is you do, even for that.
Is there a brocha for that? Or no?
I don't know.
Because it would make a difference between dress and
a dress. Right? Agreed? Okay. I don't know.
By the way, he showed me the picture of the keel, and it's, I can understand how it's done.
It's like a faucet.
It's like an urn with a spouse and so on.
Agreed.
You see, so that's why why you need a quantity in it. Okay, good.
Ki asa. We are in Chaf Amud Aleph for two lines from the top of the Amud. Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan by Ilfa. The following question was asked by Ilfa. The different Amar ain lina malas b'kiddush adam v'raglayim. So let's say that we subscribe to the position of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon that there's no concept of lina as it relates to your hands being washed. Meaning once a Kohen washes his hands, he's good to go for the next 10 days. Again, assuming he didn't sleep. Okay. The mekior maushe yifsulu. So, how about the water and the actual kior? Is that subject to becoming pasul overnight? Now, what's the argument? Meaning, if you're good for the next 10 days, so why should it be any different with the water that's actually in the kior itself? But the Gemara goes on to explain.
What does that
one
have to do with the other?
Well, give it a moment. Hani. Lamai l'kiddush adam v'raglaim. Kiddush adam v'raglaim gufayu lo pasul behu. Lina. So the Gemara says, look, on one hand, the argument should be, look, it's no different than the Kohen himself. Meaning, if the Kohen's hands are good for the next 10 days, so one can imagine that the ward and the kiyur should also be good for the next 10 days. What difference should it be? Oh, Dilma, but on the other hand, there is a counter argument to make. Kevan de kiddush lehu b'kli shares mifsalu. When we're looking at the kiyur, basically, maybe we consider the kiyur a kli shares. Once something goes into a klisharis, let's go back to my example of blood that I discussed earlier. Once the dam goes into a klisharis, that's it. It's on the clock. Meaning you can't offer the blood tomorrow. Because now that's mekudash b'klisharis, so the klisharis now gives it basically the deadline. It must be offered today. Maybe the right way to look at the kior is also considered a klisharis. And now that the water is in the klisharis, meaning if that's the right way to look at the kior, so that means that tomorrow morning the water is no good. So the kiddush lehu b'klishar is mistling. So this is the question of the Gemara, and this is Ilfa's question. Ki asa Ravin Amar Rav Yirmiya Amar Rabbi Ami Amar Rav Yochanan Hadar Pashat Ilfa. So the Gemara has a whole shalshalas of Amarayim, all within the name of Rav Yochanan, saying that Ilfa asked the question, but Ilfa then also gave the answer. Kemachlokas bezukach manchlokas bezu. So his answer was it's the same machlokas, meaning Rebbe says that there's lina for the kohen. There's also lina for the water in the kior. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says there's no lina for the kohen. There's no lina for the water in the kior as well. That is right now how Ilfa answers the question. I'm a lefan Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisnei. Rebbe ata omer kein. So he says in front of him, Rashi says that we're talking about Rebbe Ami. Okay. All this was said over in the name of Ravin, but he's now having the dialogue with Rebbe Ami. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisnei says to Rabbi Ami, really, you think so? Meaning, you think Ilfa answered the question? Ella hachi amar Rabbi Asi amar Rabbi Yochanan mishmei d'Ilfa. I have another tradition that was said in the name of Ilfa, and it goes like this. Kir shelo shaku b'mi ba'erev, mekadesh memenu la'avodas laila, ulamachar ena mekadesh. If the kir is not deposited from the evening prior, so you can use the water in the kior that day and that night, but machar in a mekadesh. The next day you are not mekadesh. Now what was meant in those last three words? Vavina bala machar in a mekadesh, delo tzarech lekiddush. In other words, are we saying that the next day you don't need kiddush because you already were mekadesh your hands the night prior? Meaning, basically like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Odilma ifsalu belina. Or maybe no. Meaning, enu tzarech lekadesh could very well mean enu yachol lekadesh. Meaning, you can't wash your hands from the kiyor because the kiyor, now the water in the kiyor has experienced lina. It has now gone overnight and therefore becomes disqualified the next day. Meaning this statement of Rav Yochanan could be interpreted in one of two ways, and Ilfa himself admits, I'm not sure which is the correct way to interpret it. V'lo pashalan, umarka pashale, mifshin. So meanwhile, my tradition from Ilfa is that he asked the question and give him the answer. And now you seem confident to say that the machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, is the same machlokas regarding the kohen as it is regarding the water in the kiyor. So the Gemara says basically, I'm not so sure that Ilfa came to a conclusion on the matter. Tashma. Gemara says, well, let's learn together now a Mishnah. Mishnah describes now an enhancement that was made to the kiyor. The kiyor originally had four spouts coming off of it, and Ben Ketin asa shnei masar dal kiyor. So this individual, this personality, by the name of Ben Ketin, so he enhanced the kiyor by making holes in the kiyor and putting 12 spouts into the kiyor. Avhu asa mukhni l'kiyor, and on top of that, he also made a mukhni for the kiyor. Now, a mukhni, not perfectly clear what it is. I'll look at the Rashi over here on our daf. Rashi writes, mukhni mefarsh hausam galgalim, shemal naso begalgalim in abor, shachrish, shelo yemeim av nefsalim belina, lefichach meshak naso aravis bebor, sheyemaim av mechubarim lemeamayin ubatlu. We have the words over here, lina san. Right, what's the... Just give me a moment. So Shaloi Umeima Ubala Kedusha San. Okay. I'll describe it the best way I can according to Rashi. Meaning that the Mukhni according to Rashi is as follows. If the water would stay in the kiyor overnight, the water would become disqualified, in other words, lena. Like what we described. What they would do is that they would create some sort of pulley system where there was some sort of hole in the Azara. Again, not perfectly clear exactly where the hole was, but there was running. Okay, just I got it. But just I'm just conceptually, just you know, I'm not even conceptually, but just halakhically, I'm just explaining what's going on. So there was some sort of hole in the Azara, and what was happening is that the kiyor was lowered in the hole, so that the water in the kiyor would be making contact with the water in the running wellspring underneath. And in doing so, you have this concept known in mikvah. We have this concept called hashaka. Where basically, if you have waters kissing one another, you have contact between waters, so a water that is not fit for a mikvah can be used, considering that it's connected to water that's fit for a mikvah. Now, we're not talking about mikvahs over here, but it's basically the same idea. In other words, when the kiyor now is lowered into the ground and making contact with the water underneath, the subterranean water, so now you have contact, and so therefore the water will no longer become disqualified through linas laila. So that's the mukhni as described. So the hold the picture. I want to see it after So the two enhancements that were made. One was the 12 spouts, and the other one was the mukhni. But parenthetically, 12 spouts. Why 12? Because the maximum number of kohanim that could be doing the avoda at one time is 12 kohanim. Okay, it's a little problematic because the Mishnah Talmud describes 13 kohanim. But okay, anyway, for our purposes right now, I'm going to say 12 and no, that's not a perfect. It's not a perfect number. But anyway, maximum number of kohanim that can do the avoda. Shol yemeim av nesalim belina. Now, so here's what's very clear. Meaning, this Mishnah clearly is telling us that water in the morning becomes disqualified. Now, who's the author of this? Who's the author of this Mishnah? My love, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, velo Rebbe. Now, remember, according to Rebbe, the question doesn't even get off the ground, because Rebbe tells us that when the kohen washes his hands. So the hands are only good until the morning. Morning comes, hands need a new kiddush adam v'raglaim. So according to Rebbe, it's a no-brainer that the water in the kiyor itself also is going to be disqualified. That was never our question. Our question was, according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, who says that a kohen washes his hands, he's good for the next 10 days. Well, what about water in the kiyor? Is it the same or is it different? And again, the reason why it would be different is because the kiyor itself is considered a kli shareis, and so therefore, maybe in the kiyor itself, maybe it would undergo lina. Here's what I know for sure. I have a Mishnah, although it is not ascribed to who says the Mishnah. I have a Mishnah that says that the water in the kiyor would be subject to lina had it not been for the fact that the water now is deposited subterranean so that it makes contact with the water underneath. And so that to avoid the problem of lina. So the Mishnah is very clear. Now, who's the author of the Mishnah? And for the next, let's say, 10 lines of Gemara, We're going to try to ascribe more. Let's say 15. Next 15 lines of Gemara, we're going to try to ascribe authorship of this Mishnah. What we would like to say is that the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and then the point's been made. Because if all we do end up saying is that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi, we knew that already. So the Gemara says, who's the author of this Mishnah? My love, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Eva, lo, Rabbi, lo, Rabbi. The Gemara says, no, the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi. Hamidereisha, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Sefer Nami, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara is going to make the argument that we know the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, because let's look at other Mishnahs that are around. Now, over here, this is a Mishnah in Yuma, and let's take a look at another Mishnah in Yuma. Dikani Reisha, Balo Eitzel Paro. We're talking now about the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur approaching his bull. Now, we know that the bull is a Karban Chatas, and we know that, therefore, as a Karban Chatas, it has to be Shechta on the north side of the Azara. What is considered the north side of the Azara? This is now the second time in the Masechta we're having this discussion. So there are three opinions in terms of what is considered the north side of the Azara. Okay, if we may, there's a picture here in our Gemara. I'm sure the Art School House also has an excellent picture. So if we may, there are basically going to be three areas that we're going to be talking about in terms of the north. In other words, if you're following with me, I'm giving an aerial description. So you have the Mizbeach basically centered in the courtyard, right? To the west of the Mizbeach, you have the actual edifice, the Beis HaMikdash itself. And now we know that a Karban Chatzos, a Karban Ola have to be shechted in the north. So it could either be one of three areas. Everyone's in full agreement that if you're talking about the area directly parallel north of the actual Mizbeach itself, that for sure is Safon. Everyone agrees. So that's one opinion. The second opinion is that it's going to include the northwest area. Now, when I say the northwest area, I mean the area between the Mizbech and the actual Ulam, the edifice of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, I'll pause over here. And then there's another area which it also might include, and that would be the northeast, which is, as we'll see in just a moment, that's Rebbe's position, that it would include the northeast as well. So the Kohen Gadol now on Yom Kippur has his bull. He's about to do vidu on the bull. He's about to do vidu on the bull, and he's going to shech the bull. And where is he situated? Gemara goes on to explain. So balo etzel paro par hayomei ben ulam lemizbech rosh ladarma panav lamarav. So the bull would be on a north-south line, where if you can imagine the bull's rear is going to be facing the north, the bull's head is going to be facing the south. But then the bull's head is going to be turned to his right, which again, if you're following orientation, so the bull's now facing, the bull's head, or I should say face, is facing west. The Kohen Omei B'Mizrach U'Panav L'Marav. Kohen standing behind the bull, or really alongside the bull, but the Kohen is now in an east-west orientation, where the Kohen is now facing west. So, both the Kohen and the bull are facing in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Man Shamalei Da'amra Beina Ulam Ulam Mizbech Safon. Now, where is Kohen and Bull right now located? In the northwest portion. Meaning, as I mentioned earlier, there are three sections of north. North directly north of the Mizbeach, northwest and northeast. Here the Mishnah has the Kohen with his bull in the northwest. Who says that that area is eligible for Safon? None other than Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. Gemara makes exactly this point. So man shamalei damar ben ulam lemizbech safon Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon detan yezu safon mikir mizbech safona vad kosa azarat safonu chenek kol mizbech kulat safon divrei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah here is teaching us that according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, it's only the area directly north of the mizbeach. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon Mosif af ben ulam lemizbech Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon includes the northwest. And Rebbe Mosif af makom drisus ragle akohanim and makom drisus ragle Yisrael. And Rebbe includes even the northeast as well. And I'll just say parenthetically, yes, it's strange that Tanaim who lived after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash are having a debate in terms of what north is. Okay? Close parentheses. Aval, Beina Chalifus V'lifnim, HaKomodim Shepasol. Now, here's what's not north according to everybody. Meaning, once you are anywhere interior of the Beis HaMikdash itself, meaning once you are going to the northwest corner of the Beis HaMikdash and you're making a left-hand turn over there, meaning if you're heading north, and now you're going to be making a left-hand turn. The moment you're going interior of the Beis HaMikdash, even though you are on the north side, but for Shechitas, Karban Chatas, and Shechitas, Karban Ola, that is not considered north, according to nobody. Fine. Now, what have we just concluded, or seemingly concluded? The Mishnah in Yuma is going like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, because where is the bull? In the northwest. Who says that area is acceptable? Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. To which the Gemara says the argument is not conclusive. V'tizbara Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon Hivalo Rebbe Hashar Rebbe Ad Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda Mosif Ad Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon Lo Mosif. Gemara says, look, Rebbe includes the northeast, but if he's including the northeast, for sure he also is incorporating the northwest, meaning Rebbe's got the largest cell phone coverage, right? For him, cell phone is anywhere in the north, both on the east and the west side. And I suppose the argument is, look, if you're accepting of the area that is further away from the actual Beis HaMikdash, you're for sure accepting of the area that's closer to the Beis HaMikdash as well. So in other words, for Rebbe, northeast is good, but so is northwest. So what the Gemara now is saying is that you see that according to that Mishnah doesn't have to be going like Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, because according to Rebbe, northwest would also be acceptable as well. Anan hachi kamrin, and the Gemara says, yeah, but you missed our point. So the Gemara says, look, if you held like Rebbe, where would be the best place, the optimal place to have the Kohen and his bull standing? So the Gemara right now is assuming the best place would be the northeast. Now, why? It's not totally clear. Rashi simply says it's lav orach ara. It's just not appropriate. Not appropriate to have... Right, not appropriate to have the animal and the Kohen so close to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, I don't fully understand that, but that's how Rashi explains it. So the Gemara says that if I subscribed, in fact, to the opinion of Rebbe, shouldn't I have the Kohen Gadol and its bull all the way on the northeast side? Elamai, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon V'lokma Mikir Mizbech Tzafonat Kosol Azar Tzafoni. The Gemara says, well, if that's your argument, so then even according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, where should the Kohen and the bull be? Meaning, it's true that he allows you to use the northwest area, but if there's some idea of it's not proper Derech Eretz to have the bull so close to the Beis HaMikdash, so let's move the Kohen Gadol and his bull slightly eastbound, let's go to the area directly above the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, you know what? There's another argument. There's a competing argument, which is really even a better argument. Why do we have the Kohen Gadol with his bull right next to the Beis HaMikdash? It's very simple. The Kohen Gadol is going to be expending a lot of energy. And remember, he's also fasting. Which means to say that he's been up all night. He's going to be doing all the avodas over the course of the day. So knowing that he's going to be putting in so many minutes, he's going to be logging so many minutes that day, so we don't want him to overextend himself and expend too much energy. So knowing that the bull eventually is going to be shechted and the blood of the bull is going to be brought into the Beis HaMikdash, best idea is to have the bull as proximate to the Beis HaMikdash as possible. So in other words, if I held like Rebbe, where the entire north area is eligible area to have the bull and the Kohen Gadol, but again, this idea of Chushu de Kohen Gadol is telling us, yeah, but let's put him next to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he's situated in the northwest. Same as for Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Meaning, according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, you have the area directly north of the Mizbeach, you have the northwest area which is available, but I'll put him in the northwest because, again, I don't want the Kohen Gadol to have to do any extra steps and expend too much energy. So the Gemara says, so really now, when all said and done, this Mishnah Yuma could be going like Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, but it could also be going like Rebbe as well. So as much as we wanted to try to prove that this Mishnah is going like Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, proving that according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, Lina will be postal in the night, we can easily also just simply argue that the Mishnah is going like Rebbe, and therefore no proof has been made. Ilfa's question remains a question. So, to summarize, we know that when a Kohen washes his hands, Kiddush Adam V'Raglaim, we know there's a machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe says that morning comes, he's got to wash his hands anew. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon says as long as he's awake and as long as it does not have Hesach Hadas, the washing will be good for however long he stays awake for. The question of Ilfa is the same going to be true for Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon regarding the water in the Kiyor? Does it also have no deadline? Does it have no expiration? Or no? That the water in the Kiyor is going to be subject to Lina even according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. The difference would be the Kiyor is a Kli Sharis, and therefore like anything put into Kli Sharis, Lina will postulate it. So maybe the water in the Kiyor / Kli Sharis would postulate as well. At least that's a possibility. Ilfa asks the question. According to one Amara, Ilfa answers the question. According to another Amara, Ilfa's question still remains intact. It's not obvious because the Kli Sharis is usually something that involves dam, right? Mincha, meaning in other words, it's designated for carbon. This, as I point out at the beginning of the morning, is Hechsher. This only prepares people for the carbon. So you're right. In other words,
the water in there is also Hechsher. Agreed.
But without the Kohen being able to wash his hands and feet, he can't do the avoda. So in other words, basically in Lamdus, how connected is this to the actual avoda itself? We just view it as a hechsher, or is it part and parcel of the avoda? Because these mishnayos, the mishnah that we quoted earlier about Ben Kittin making the 12 spouts and making the muchni for the kior, is clearly assuming that if there was no wheel bringing the kior down into the ground, so it'd be subject to lina. We don't know who authored that mishnah. That mishnah is coupled together with the other mishnayos in Yuma. So if we can ascribe authorship of the other mishnayos in Yuma, so then we can ascribe authorship to that mishnah as well.
They're coming together.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kiddush HaDavar HaGlav V'Trumas HaDeshen, L'machar Eino Tzarech L'Kadet Shekvar Kiddush Mitchilas Avoda. Gemara quotes the statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. And again, I can just make my same parenthetical point, meaning Rabbi Yochanan is living even further away after Churban Beis HaMikdash. But again, clearly, I made this point in the beginning of the Masechta. The Tanaim and the Amoraim were just, in other words, it was a limud in the base medrash, all about kachim. Clearly. Rav Yochanan says that if the Kohen does Trumas HaDeshen, he does not need to wash his hands anew in the morning. So again, just a little bit of background. In the morning, the first avoda that was done in the morning, when I say morning, I really mean pre-morning, meaning it could be done really. It's not perfectly clear when the first opportunity. The Gemara in Yuma has a description in terms of when Trumas HaDeshen is done. But for our purposes right now, all we need to say, because this part's clear, is that it's done before Netzachama. And at some time in the early morning, the Kohen would go up onto the Mizbeach with a shovel, and he would take just a portion of the ashes that burned overnight. He would then go down from the ramp and he would deposit it on the east side of the ramp. And this is done every morning. And this is what's called Trumas HaDeshen. Now, during Bais Rishon, a miracle would occur where the ashes would just kind of sink and absorb into the ground after it was deposited on the east side of the Mizbeach. But this is an avoda that was done in the early morning. What Rav Yochanan is teaching us, just again, give me a moment. What Rav Yochanan is teaching us is that when a Kohen does this avoda, obviously in order for him to do it, he has to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. And now he's going to be descending from the ramp, depositing on the east side of the Mizbeach. And then daybreak is going to occur. And Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, but he doesn't have to wash his hands. He already washed his hands for the Trumas HaDeshen. Now the Gemara wants to know, this statement of Rabbi Yochanan, who's an Amora, is he falling within the position of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon? Or is he falling within the opinion of Rabbi? The answer seems to be obvious, but the Gemara is going to debate this point. The Gemara says, Trumas HaDeshen L'machar Ein Tzarech L'Kadesh Shekvar Kiddush Mitchilas Avoda. Laman. Ila Rabbi Ha'amar Pasolina. Now, if we were subscribing to Rabbi, Rabbi said, look, we learned in the beginning of today's shir, even with no hefsek, even if you're still doing the avoda, the night shift to the morning shift, once morning comes, you must wash your hands. So, Rabbi Yochanan's statement seemingly cannot be working within the sheet of Rabbi. And Ila Rabbi Laza Rabbi Shimon Amar Ein Tzarech L'Kadesh Afilo Mikan V'Rasar Yamim. And if we're subscribing to the opinion of Rabbi Laza Rabbi Shimon, well, there's simply no. What's the chiddush here? Meaning, even if he didn't do any of the avoda, even if he didn't do the Trumas HaDeshen, there's no need to wash your hands in the morning if you were up at night and if you already had to wash your hands. So Amar Abai, so the Amoraim debate this issue. La'olam l'Rebbe. Now, Abai is going to make the argument that this statement of Rav Yochanan is working within the sheet of Rebbe, even though, according to Rebbe, each and every morning there is a new requirement to wash your hands. And there's a concept of lina, which means that even if you wash your hands the night prior, or the day prior, and even if you were up all night, lina is going to passel. So what Abai is now arguing is that this statement of Rav Yochanan is working afilu b'shitas Rebbe. How can that be? Gemara goes on to explain. Because lina derabbanan hi. Because Lina in this context is really only a din derabanan, like I said in the beginning of Shir today. Lina is much more relevant to dam, basar, mincha, meaning we're talking about things that are actually carbon. Lina over here, as it applies to a kohen's hands, is just basically we're borrowing the idea. We're using the idea for the kohen's hands, but it's not formal lina. Lina is the rabbanan. Umo doesn't mikros gefer v'atzar for lo pasal lina. And so therefore, being that this is a din derabanan as it relates to the kohanim's hands, so there is a little bit more flexibility. Flexibility in the fact that, according to Rebbe, in the morning, does the kohen have to wash his hands every morning? The answer, of course, is yes. But if he already was up by dawn, what the Gemara describes here as krusa gever, if he was up at dawn doing the avodah of the Trumas Hadeshin, so here Rebbe is not going to take an absolute position. Well, once daybreak comes, he's got to wash his hands anew. So there is a little bit of flexibility, some give, even within the Shita of Rebbe.
We have a concept of
Ein Shvut B'Mikdash,
it shouldn't be applicable at all.
Right. I said yesterday, Ein Shvut B'Mikdash is not like it's not an absolute. Meaning that Gzera D'Rabban don't apply in the Mikdash. But here, this is a specific Gzera made regarding Kachim in the Beis HaMikdash. But yes, admittedly, right, they normally don't enact new enactments in the Beis HaMikdash, but here this is how Abai is arguing. So therefore because it's lean as the Rabbanan, so therefore there's a little cushion. Rav Amar La'olam Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and Rav says no. When Rav Yochanan made the statement that after Trumas Hadeshin he does not have to wash his hands anew, he's actually working within the sheet of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Now we were bothered by that because that's a given. It's obvious. So the Gemara says, "Olam Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon he." V'ra Rebbe Yochanan dvarav b'tchilas avoda v'lo b'sof avoda. And even as Rebbe Yochanan adopts the opinion of Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, but he wasn't fully on board. If you're finishing an avoda, what Rebbe Yochanan is saying is, I'm not ready to take on the position of Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Meaning that once you get to a new day, Rebbe Yochanan says, I would demand that the Kohanim have to wash their hands, only because fundamentally, I hold like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. And anyway, this Kohen is doing a haschala, a new avoda for the day. So then and only then am I comfortable in saying the Kohen doesn't have to wash his hands anew. Meisve. The Gemara challenges are based on the following brisa. Ruah achav kohanim shehard v'hen ratzu ubao mi'ar v'kitchu yedem v'aglam in akiyur. The Mishnah over here in Talmud is giving a description of basically what would a regular day in the Beis HaMikdash look like. That's the Mishnah in Talmud, which parenthetically we're going to go through later in our Seder Kachim March, much later. We got the big three Masechtas ahead of us, and then about a year from now. But anyway, Ra'u Achav HaKohanim Shiarad. So when the Kohanim see that he's coming down, he meaning the one who's doing the Trumas Hadeshin, Ratzu Abahu Mi'ar V'Kishu Yedem V'Aglem in a Kiyor. So now the Kohanim are going to be washing their hands and their feet from the Kiyor. Bishlama, top of Chaf Amud Beis. So now this Mishnah and Talmud works wonderfully if you subscribe to the opinion of Rebbe. Why? Because Rebbe says that every morning, all the Kohanim have to wash their hands. Now here you have a group of Kohanim who the Gemara is assuming right now, and I know this is an assumption, but the Gemara is assuming right now that they were up all night, and yet you see all the Kohanim running and washing their hands. Good. But Hamani Rebihi, Ela la Rava, the Mokum like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, according to Rava, who says that this is the Shita Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Avala Rabbi, Mikrusa Gevra Adstafra Pasolina. So Hamani, E Rebbe Pasolina. Now, if you hold like Rebbe, so now Lina should be postal. And E Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Ha Amar, Afilami Kanvarasar Yamim, and Tzarch Lekadish. And if the author of this Mishnah and Talmud is going like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, why is anybody washing their hands? So the Gemara says, "La'olam k'Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon v'hach b'ma'iskinan b'kohani chadati." But the Gemara says, "Look, you walked into the Mishnah and Talmud with an assumption, and that is that these Kohanim were up all night. Mehechitesi, how do I know that that's so? Meaning, it could very well be that the Kohanim the Mishnah and Talmud is describing were not doing the night shift. This is their first time in the Beis HaMikdash doing a vote in the morning, and therefore they're all washing their hands. And it could very well be that the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon." And why is everyone washing their hands? Very simply, Kohani Chadati, because the new Kohanim doing the Avoda for the first time. Okay, let's recap, and then we'll pick it up tomorrow from the two dots. Again, today our topic for today is Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. We started off with a simple question of procedurally, how does it look like when the Kohen washes his hands and feet? Is it going to be a hand foot? So in other words, two times washing, but the Kohen's going to be standing on his own. There's another opinion that says that no, hand over hand, foot over foot, and the water is going to be flowing down on all four extremities at the same time. How can he stand like that? He's going to get help. Is that considered standing? The Gemara says that's a machlokas. The Gemara then, the rest of today, discuss the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Shimon, according to Rebbe, every morning a Kohen has to do a new Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, and he subscribes to this concept of Lina as it relates to their hands. And so that means that every day anew, a Kohen's going to have to wash his hands anew. And even if he did the night shift, and even if he was up the whole night. Masha Einkin, according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, a Kohen washes his hands, and that's good. For today, tomorrow, the next day after that, it will continuously be good. And then, really, honestly, and again, I'm just summarizing the rest of the daf, just basically seeing whose position bears that better, Rebbe, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. Would it be different for the kior, the warden and the kior? Maybe yes, maybe no. Ilfa discussed that for a good part of today's daf. We saw Mishnayos and Yuma. Mishnah and Yuma is going like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, is going like Rebbe, not perfectly clear. And then a statement by Rav Yochanan that if a Kohen is doing the Trumas Hadeshim, which is pre Netzachama, that's dawn of Oda, if he does the Trumas Hadeshim, he does not need to wash his hands for the remainder of the day. Was he saying that within Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, or was he saying that within Rebbe? That's a machlokas between Abai and Rava as to whether or not Rav Yochanan was saying it within Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, or within Rebbe.